the person who did it would be put to death. So that scared the daylights out of the people, and they stopped beating Paul. So we'll finish this little chapter, and then we'll get into the great good news.
Amen. 29. Then straightway they departed from him that would should have examined him.
The examine means they weren't going to beat him this time.
And the chief captain also was afraid, after that he knew he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. 30. On the morrow, when he would have known the certainty of the which he was accused of the Eudas.
Eudas is the correct way from the Greek. Jew is an incorrect word. It either means our beloved brother Judah, whom we love very much, a resident of Judea, or those who say they're Judah but are not the synagogue of Satan, the Kenites. And I think he's trying to kill Paul with the Kenites.
He loosed them from his bonds. He commanded the chief priest and all the council to appear. He brought Paul down and sat him before them.
Okay, the Roman captain there wanted to know what in the world they were accusing Paul of, so he brings him down and sits him before the religious community.
Acts chapter 23, verse 1.
As always, I ask God to show me his heart so I can share it with your heart. So from God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Not the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your divine destiny.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like
Hallelujah.
That?
Yes.
Not the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your divine destiny. Now, what do I mean by you? You, every Christian, man, woman, boy, or girl, under the sound of my voice, and you, the United States of America.
Yeah,
so let's
amen.
Say it again. Not the gates of hell can prevent you Christians or you United States of America from filling your divine destiny.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
One, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said.
Okay, Paul is sitting there. The religious community is going to try him. I had a friend one time, he said, Sherry, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day.
Remember, Paul was a teacher there in their synagogue, and now they're mad at him.
Verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on his mouth.
Oh.
3. Then Paul said unto him, God smite thee, thou whited wall.
Remember that when they arrested Jesus, they smote him on the cheek too. The servant's not greater than the master. Now, I love Paul for saying that. Whited wall means you're whitewashed. When you whitewash something, when the rain comes down, it goes away. Ananias, and Paul knew this, was not a real high priest, not appointed by God. He was appointed by the Roman government, so Paul knew this.
For seest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?
Everybody there knew, and Ananias knew, that Paul was a genius of the Torah, the word of God.
4. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? 5. Then Paul said, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of the people.
Of course Paul knew. He's just being snarky there.
6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee.
Now, the church folks there, the religious community in the synagogue, were divided. Paul would later write, have no schisms in the church. Schisms mean no divisions, no denominations. Sorry, but Paul said that. But they were divided. They had the Pharisees on the right and then the Sadducees on the left. The Pharisees believed in life after death. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death. As one preacher said, that's why they were sad, you see. Now, why is Paul doing this? Because he's going to take the attention away from himself. Paul is wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. So they get to fighting, so then he's free.
Amen.
It's always good when the enemy starts fighting themselves, because
yeah.
They just kill themselves, and then you go free.
Of the hope and resurrection from the dead, I am called in question.
Paul says, the reason they're questioning me is I said that Jesus the Messiah has arisen from the dead. Pharisees know that people arise from the dead.
7. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. 8. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor angels, nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. 9. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose.
Now, the Pharisees are going to take Paul's part.
As Shaul was saying, we find no evil in this man. But if the spirit or the angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.
Not guilty.
10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing that Paul would have been pulled into pieces of them.
Now, the chief captain didn't love Paul, but he knew that he had already overstepped his place with Paul, and he was afraid that Caesar would have him killed, so he didn't want to get Paul killed.
Commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him.
The next night, the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul. Paul would write, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You know the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you.
And said, be of good cheer, Paul.
Cheer up, Paul.
For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.
In other words, Jesus says, Paul, not the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your divine destiny. I say you're going to Rome, and you're going to go to Rome. Now, Paul had everything against him, the church folks there, the government, and they'd been beating him. Paul was beaten 5 times with 39 stripes. Jesus was beaten only 1 time with 39 stripes. Those stripes, those whips, had little blades in them and would cut your skin. Paul was shipwrecked. A viper bit him. He was betrayed. Most of his epistles he wrote in prison. There was human waste in there and water and rats. He was betrayed, but Paul fulfilled his destiny. Why did Paul do that? Because Paul said, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. He surrendered his all, and so therefore he fulfilled his purpose. What was his destiny? You and I are enjoying it. For 2,000 years, Paul's destiny has blessed Jesus' church. He wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, on and on. What a destiny, and great is his reward in heaven.
Amen.
Now, how about you? Men, women, boys and girls, everyone born as a little baby in a flesh body. God knew you before you were in your mother's womb, Jeremiah chapter 1. And the psalmist says, God put your members in a book. Remember, we were all with God in the spirit, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. If the silver cord breaks, means when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you were there before. And so before he put you, spirit and soul, into your mother's womb there, he said, I've got a purpose for you. And he wrote it in a book. Okay, so how can you fulfill that purpose? First of all, know that it's never too. It's never too late. You're never too sick. You're never too old. You're never too busy. You never got too much family, too many children. You never too this, too that. It's never too late. No two twos. Okay. Remember that Moses was 80 years old. He had not walked into his destiny. He's 80 years old. So he saw a burning bush, and God was the burning bush. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 29. And God said, Moses, move into your destiny. So for 40 years, from the age of 80 to 120, Moses fulfilled the purpose and destiny, and great is his reward in heaven. Amen. Okay. All right. Now that's Moses. All right. So, in other words, it was never too late. To fulfill your destiny, you need to know that Romans 11:29 says God's gifts and callings are without repentance. In other words, God gave you gifts and talents and called you. He wrote it in a book, and it was there with you when you were born. And you say, it's too late. I missed it all. I missed the mark. This has happened. This has happened. It's still there. You're still called. How about that?
Amen.
Also, you want to know that if God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Romans 8:31. And you want to know Romans, let's see where we go, Psalm 32:8. You want to know that God will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. He will guide you with your counsel. So you say, I don't know what to do. Pray God's word back, Psalm 32:8. God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my counsel. Christians, it's about time you started to believe God's word.
Amen.
God is not a man that he should lie. His promise is yes and amen. He watches over his word and performs it. So pray it back. And then, as I said, Romans 8:31, know that if God be for you, who can be against you? I can assure you that all the gates of hell will come against you because the devil does not want you to fulfill your destiny. Let's just take an example of someone we all know living now. All the gates of hell have come against him. Our beloved President Donald Trump, 5 years ago, when he and his beautiful wife Melania came down the escalator to say he was going to run for president, right then it started. Hillary Clinton paid $10 million to create a phony dossier, lies against Donald Trump. The previous administration in the Oval Office planned a coup, and on they went. Russia, Russia, Russia. All of that, he was not guilty for. They say he colluded. And 2.5 years, Mueller, the FBI guy, finally said not guilty. And all the while, Mueller knew that he was not guilty. And that didn't work. They came against him. It didn't work because he had a destiny. President Trump has a destiny.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there was Ukraine. No. President Trump didn't do anything. Joe Biden was the one that committed treason by paying our taxpayer money to Ukraine so they would not investigate his son Hunter.
Amen. Yeah.
And then they impeached him. Impeach, impeach, impeach. And then there was Stormy, Stormy, Stormy. And that was not true. And then Dr. Fauci said, shut down, shut down, shut down. Virus, 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 you're all going to die. Well, President Trump had by that time had the greatest economy, because that's his gift, America has ever known since its beginning. And he hated to shut it down, but he finally opened it back up. And then there's the election fraud. Donald Trump won, as we pray to God, landslide majority, and there's election fraud. All the gates of hell have come against Donald Trump. But do you know what? Donald Trump has done more for America than any president we've ever had.
Amen.
He's not a racist. He got black people out of prison because the former people, presidents, had put black people in prison for life for a little felony. President Trump, freedom. President Trump lowered the taxes, and he moved the regulations on businesses. He brought trade back and manufacturing to America. So we've had the lowest rate of unemployment for black Americans that we've ever had. In other words, we were soaring. And look at there, he moved the Jerusalem, the Israel, the capital, back to Jerusalem, on and on and on. And look, we've got the Kennedy Space Center opened up again, spacecraft, on and on. And I'm just telling you a little bit of that. President Trump is a man of destiny. He has moved into his destiny, and I can assure you, Donald Trump is not finished.
Amen.
And now, let's look at America. America is a destiny. Isaiah 18 says, a nation without walls, men tall and peeled, shaven. What about America? Who is America? We know that Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. But they got mad at each other and had a split. Two of them broke away, and that was the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. They changed their name to the House of Judah. The other 10 tribes retained the name the House of Israel. But along came Sennacherib the Assyrian, all of this is in the Bible, and captured them. But history tells us, it's documented, the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, and settled in what we now call Europe, Ireland, England, and Scotland. They no longer call themselves the House of Israel. Remember, Joseph was one of the patriarchs. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So they call themselves Ephraim, one of Joseph's two sons, the seed of Abraham, the House of Israel. But Ephraim said, I'm going to make you close your churches. I'm going to make you socialist, communist, and Marxist, and I'm going to take away your freedoms. Joseph's other son, Manasseh, said, no, 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 no. We're the seed of Abraham. By that time, Jesus, they heard of Jesus. So the larger bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel crossed the Atlantic Ocean and founded these United States of America. Our forefathers, the pilgrims, the seed of Abraham, of Joseph's son, put up a cross then. They had brought it over on the Mayflower and dedicated America the glory of God and the glory of his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One nation Amen. Under God through Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Lord.
Amen.
Our first schools were in churches to teach our children to read the Bible. Oh, Isaiah 5 says, oh, the wall's been broken down. The Bible says that we didn't need a wall. God's been our wall. Isaiah 5 says, the wall's been broken down. The enemy's come in. The poison berries are there. The children of the devil, the socialists, communists, Marxists, and it looks like it's too late. Uh-oh, I read Isaiah. Sennacherib was allowed to capture Israel, but Sennacherib went too far. You know, you can only go so far in punishing God's children, and God will move, because we're the apple of his eye. Yeah. Apple means pupil. When you stick your finger in God's pupil, and we're the apple of his eye, he has swatted you. So he sent a blast, a rumor, and that was the end of Sennacherib. All right, so what can America do? We know it's not too late. What can you do, America? Because all the gates of hell have come against us to prevent our destiny. Here's what we can do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. First of all, we humble ourselves. What does humble mean? Fast. Food fast. Jesus said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. When Jonah told the king of Nineveh that the whole nation was going to be destroyed because of sin, the king of Nineveh called a nationwide fast, and God saved Nineveh. And they didn't have any Christian people like America do. I am fasting. Not too long ago, I taught you about fasting. If you're sick or have a physical condition, don't do it. America, anybody out there, would you fast with me for America? 21 days, 10 days, 7 days, 3 days, 1 day. How about a 9-hour prayer fast? You can handle that one. Food fast. In other words, we need to, with sackcloth and ashes, fast. All Christians in America should have been fasting all this week. We would have gotten God's attention. Fasting gets God's attention. Humble yourselves, pray. Oh, okay, we'll pray, you say. Father, in Jesus' name, please save America. Father, in Jesus' name, please keep us free. What is praying? Romans 8:26. America, Christian, God says, you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit will pray through you with groanings, which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. Is there anybody in America out there? When you pray, when you let the Holy Spirit groan through you, that we pray according to the Father's will. We don't want your God save America, God bless America. Groan, fast. And America, seek God's face. Do you know what the name of most Christians in America is? Your name is Jimmy. Because when you pray, you say, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Is there anybody in America who is seeking God I want you, God. I love you, God. I want to know you, God. You are so great. You're the universe creator. I want God.
Amen.
I can testify.
Here we are, Lord.
I sought him with all my heart, and I found him. I found him whom my soul loves, and I will not let him go.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God. And then what do you do, America, to fulfill your destiny? You turn from your wicked ways. That means repent. Repent means quit. Stop it right now. What would America's wicked ways be? They're right in the church, you know. The first wicked way of America, we were supposed to be one nation under God. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our first greatest sin is you self-worship, self-gratification. Look at the Christians, me, myself, and I. Look at them trying to be movie stars on television, facelift and diamond earrings and designer clothes and all this mess and big kind of, and so, you know, God, give me a new house. God, give me a new car. God, give me this. God, give me that. Father, in Jesus' name, we, America, repent for having ourselves as our God, self-gratification, seeking money and fun and pleasure. Oh, forgive us, Lord. America repents for worshiping ourselves.
Yes.
Forgive us.
Forgive
Amen.
Us.
Amen. What is another America's sin? Abortion. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not kill. The manuscript word there is, thou shalt do no murder. The previous administration endorsed not only that we can abort the baby in the womb, but that if it survives the abortion, you can still kill it. It's the law of the land by the previous administration before our beloved Donald Trump. And that's not all. There are organizations that already planned, and they'll take that little baby and cut its head off and sell the head, sell the arm, sell the heart for scientific research. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
The blood cries out from our land. Mm-hmm. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name,
yes.
We, America, repent for abortions. We ask forgiveness in the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 What is the next sin of America? Sexual immorality. We have a few headings under this. Even Christians live together before they get married. The marriage bed is undefiled. When people live together before marriage, they often get hurt. You watch Hollywood, they do it, so you do it. Many, many Christians probably listen to me now. In other words, if you love each other, get married. If you don't, quit that. In other words, sexual immorality. Father, in Jesus' name, we of America repent that even your Christians live together and have sex before wedlock. We repent. This you said is a sin. Forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We're still under sexual immorality. Sodomy. We recently studied Genesis. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for sodomy. That is man having sex with man, woman having sex with woman. I want to say right up front, I do not hate you. I was in theater, and I had some wonderful friends who were homosexuals. What they did was wrong, but they had beautiful hearts. I also, in my school, taught a whole school full of men and women who were homosexuals and lesbians. I love them with all my heart. But you see, God says that's an abomination. God made us male and female. When you aberrate sex like that, you block God's plan, because God said, be fruitful and multiply. Through the man and the woman, every soul gets a chance to come in, and homosexuals and lesbians cannot have children. And our recent president endorsed the law, same-sex marriage. See, America deserves to be destroyed, honestly, because of that. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We have even made it a law of our land. Have mercy. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, We, America, repent for Sodom. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Forgive in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And then there's a sexual immorality sin of pedophile. Maybe you've heard of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, the news says he killed himself in prison. No, that's lies. Jeffrey Epstein was killed. Who killed him? All the rich and powerful and famous people. Some of us have been our presidents, powerful people, not Donald Trump. No, 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 not Donald. Okay, Jeffrey Epstein had a whole island, a sexual island, and all these rich and famous people would go there. Now, Jeffrey Epstein would enslave little boys and little girls. So all the other person had to come and say, we're coming to your island, Jeffrey Epstein, and we'd like to have about 70 hot dogs. They called the little boys hot dogs. They thought we wouldn't know the difference. Somebody else said, we'd like to have about 80 little pizzas. That's the little girls. So all of this has been going on right here in our land. And that's not all. They sacrifice these little children to their god Moloch. They call them chickens. They would put on the internet, I sacrificed a chicken today, little children. Remember those little children in Haiti? They went over there and got some of those. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we, America, repent for the horrible abuse our little children have undergone in this one nation under God.
Yes.
Forgive us, Lord. Their blood cries out. Have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And then, now the fourth great sin of America is lies. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says that the devil is the father of lies. Look at what they did to President Trump. Russia, 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 lie. Ukraine, 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 lie. Stormy, 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 lie. Virus, virus, virus. Yes, it was a virus, but they overplayed it. And now they're lying about the election. Lies, lies, lies. Who are these people who are lying? It's the fake media. All of them get together. Listen, media, you don't call the election.
Amen.
We, the American people, say who gets elected. You do not call the election until all the votes are in. And it's not over. The fat lady's not sung yet because all the votes are not in. Now, we are very blessed to have a few left in the media who tell the truth. Our beloved Rush Limbaugh, who's fighting for his life from lung cancer. Weekdays, 3 hours a day, Rush Limbaugh, radio talk. We have Newsmax. When everything else failed, and even Fox failed us, Newsmax came.
Amen.
Greg Kelly and all the others. And they not only do that, they pray, and they've got the news. We've got a few left. I'm so sorry. Fox called Arizona for Biden, and only 20% of the votes had been counted. Donald Trump would have won that. So Fox has gone the way of Cain. But we still got a few good ones over there. We love them. Why don't y'all join Newsmax? Sean Hannity is good. Tucker Carlson, Greg Gutfeld, Judge Jeanine Laura. And I just learned that Judge Jeanine has been fired, suspended, because last night she talked about the election fraud. So you see, here we are. Here we are. It's not too late. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves, fast, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. God says, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land.
Amen.
Not the gates of hell can prevent you, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, from fulfilling your destiny. And America, not the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your destiny.
Amen.
In God we trust.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I got a question for mystery. Okay, do you know anything about Donald Trump's life that would point to his destiny here in America?
Absolutely. Donald Trump is all over the Bible. We remember that the house of Judah was carried into captivity into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And there was only one king of Judah left, Zedekiah. They punched out his eyes and killed all his sons, and then he later was killed. The prophet Jeremiah was left free. And Jeremiah, the prophet, knew that God had promised David that there would always be someone to sit on the throne of David, which is the tribe of Judah. But Jeremiah saw there was no man of the tribe of Judah left. But Jeremiah found out that Zedekiah, the last king of Judah who was killed, had some daughters. One of the daughters' name was Asa, and one of the daughters' name was Scuta. So Jeremiah took Scuta and Asa, Ezekiel calls them the tender twigs, to catch up with the 10 northern tribes, the house of Israel, who by now had settled in Europe. It wasn't called Europe, it wasn't called Ireland, it wasn't called Scotland, it wasn't called England. Jeremiah did this so these daughters could marry and prolong the seed line. Well, Asa married, and Queen Elizabeth sits on, that is the throne of David right there. But their other daughter's name was Scuta. Scotland was named after Scuta, Scotland. Now, after a few generations, a descendant of Scuta, Scotland, there was a young girl named Mary Ann Smith. And she was a young girl, and she helped her cousin bring forth the greatest Christian revival Scotland has ever had. Mary Ann Smith migrated to the United States of America legally. Yes, legally. Mary Ann Smith got married to a rich billionaire named Fred Trump. And Fred Trump and Mary Ann Smith had children. One of them was Donald John Trump. They went to Norman Vincent Peale's Collegiate Church, where Donald Trump was saved. Fred Trump took them to Billy Graham's crusade in Yankee Stadium. Now, in America, the president is like the king. He is actually of the tribe of Judah. And so the king line consists. Donald Trump's destiny. I saw Donald Trump speak many years before he ever even thought of running for president. I never watched his show, but I heard him say something about America. The Holy Spirit quickened my heart, and I heard him say, that would be a great president. I started praying for him, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And years later, finally, he says, I'm going to run. And I started getting everybody to pray for him. Half of my congregation left because they wanted to hate Trump, but I knew. And we prevailed, and God prevailed. Amen. And so you see, God had a plan for Donald Trump. And not the gates of hell shall prevail against him, because he has done more for America. Do you know Donald Trump has done more for the church of Christians than any other president? Yes. Oh my goodness, I don't have time to tell you all of that. So yes, he's done the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29.
The gifts are calling without repentance. Only the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your divine destiny. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask that the blood of Jesus,
I ask that the blood of Jesus
will wash away all my sins.
Will wash away all my sins.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Save me.
Save me.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in your Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls.
To win many souls.
To Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you out there in cyberspace, in a little while, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. The Bible says confession is made unto salvation. You need to tell someone that you're saved. So I invite you to call me and leave that confession message on my voicemail. And, of course, I'll be praying for you. And now let me pray for those of you who are sick. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, for those of you who fear his name, that means you revere him, you love him, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So, precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I come before you now, and I stand before your throne, and I lift up to you everyone under the sound of my voice who is suffering any kind of sickness in their body, from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, the bones and the joints and the marrows and the brain, the sinuses, the cells and the stomach and the bladder and the private parts on men and the private parts on women and the left kidney and the right kidney and the colon and upper and lower intestine, the pancreas, the liver, the hearts, the lung, the gums, the teeth, the ears, the eyes, the skin, the nose, the feet, the breasts, the toes. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Son of Righteousness, healing waters are flowing. Reparation, rejuvenation. He's sending his word. He's healing you. Receive it and believe it. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You shall not die, but live and declare the words of God. Left lung be healed. Right lung be healed. Hallelujah. Pick up your bed and walk. You recover health and strength. He heals you of all your wounds. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He restores health and cure. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's all say,
I agree
in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You might want to call and tell me that too. Whew, that was anointed.
Amen.
Anointed destroys the yoke. Somebody got that. You want to call and tell us. Now, nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you with all my heart. And I love America. God bless America. May America bless God. And I love you for giving everything you have to Jesus. Just seek his face. Stop seeking his hand. And not the gates of hell can prevent you from fulfilling your destiny.
Amen.
I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the
Trumpet
of
Truth.
Receive the King. Let every heart prepare.
charity.
Oh, oh, joy to the world. Joy to the world. Oh, joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. Rock fields and floods. Rock seals and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Let the earth receive her King.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Let the angel voices ring.
Joy to the world, then we sing. Let the men their songs employ.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Repeat the sounding joy.
Wonders, wonders of.
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Yeah. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Truth takes the guesswork out of life because you're operating on an absolute standard that sits outside of you.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the problems that result when truth becomes nothing more than a matter of opinion.
When you got everybody with their own direction, you don't have unity. And when you don't have unity, you don't have God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas.